Well, amen. Thank you for fathers. And we have a heavenly Father whom we give praise and glory. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be His name. His kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask that He give us our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And we pray that He will lead us not into temptation, but He will deliver us from the evil one. For His is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I praise God for Him being the good Father. And I praise God for you, mighty men of faith who are here this morning. All of you mighty, mighty men of faith. Men who, by your faith, show great courage and strength. By your faith in God that you are generous and you are compassionate and that you teach and that you serve and that you sacrifice and that you pray and that you endure and that you care. I praise you, mighty men of faith, who serve God, serve your family, serve those around you, do things when no one's looking, no one's watching, without any glory to anyone, but only glory to God our Father, who is in heaven. I praise you, mighty men of faith. I praise you, mighty men of faith, for your scars. I praise you for the scars that are on your hands, the scars that are on your heart, for past life lived, for families that you were raised in, for moms and dads and brothers and sisters and relationships of your past that put scars on your hands and scars on your hearts, for the successes that you endured, that you sacrificed, for the things that you overcame, for the accomplishments that you have made and that you continue to endure, to take those scars on your hands and scars on your hearts for those successes. I praise you for your mighty men of faith for the scars on your hands and scars on your hearts for failures, for times when you were selfish, you went your own way, made bad choices, willingly chose your own way. And I praise you, mighty men of faith, for your scars on your hands and scars on your heart for continuing to get up despite those past failures, to continue to get up for your faith in God, for your spouse, for your kids, for your friends, for your neighbors, and continue to serve your God and Father, not letting those past failures or defeats to be the definition of your life, but you knowing that your strength is in the Lord. And by you, mighty men of faith, continuing to be here and to serve God and to get up despite the scars on your hands and on your hearts, pointing others to know that the battle belongs to the Lord and that your victory is in Him. I praise you for being mighty men of faith who show us what it means to be strong. Our strength comes from the Lord. And you can't know the strength of the Lord, and you can't show the strength of the Lord until you are willing to admit your weaknesses. Until you're willing to confess that I am weak, but He is strong. I am nothing, but God, You are everything. And so this morning, church, our strength is in the Lord. And I praise God that we have a Heavenly Father who shows us that. We have mighty men of faith in our lives who show us that. And I want to encourage you to live into that, to come to know what that means to put our strength in the Lord. You know, when we encourage our sons and daughters to follow people, to imitate people in life, what type of people do we raise up for them to follow? Do we say, follow a man or woman of strength or of weakness? Do we say, follow a man or woman of pride who will measure them against their own power and successes, or a person of humility who will lower themselves and raise them up to more than they could be and even greater than themselves if that's what is called for? Do we put them before people of power or people who will surrender their life to lift them up to know God our Father who is mighty to save? When we raise up people of great strength, people of great pride, people of great power, what is our natural response to that? What is your natural response to that? When we raise up people of great power and strength and pride, many scatter. Because with someone of great pride and power and strength, that is someone that I am not. I only can see my failures and my weaknesses, and that pushes me to the outside, pushes me to the edges. I'm far from that perfection. I'm far from that strength. And we find ourselves gathering with others who are imperfect in relation to the one who seems to be or appears to be or is lifted up as being all-powerful, all-prideful, all-strength, all-power. But when we're pushed to those edges and pushed to those marges, where do we find? And who do we find there? It is in those margins that we find the Lord. And it's in those margins that the Lord finds us. It seems like quite a contrast to the idea of what it is we're to be like, strength or weakness. Because if our strength is in the Lord, but yet how did the Lord execute His strength? We find the most powerful, all-powerful being of all creation, the Creator of the universes. He shows up and we find Him not high above on the mountaintop, but we find Him in the margins. And it is in those margins of our weaknesses, our insecurities, that we find the Lord. So what is an accurate image of a mighty man of God? What is an accurate image of the mighty Lord Himself? And what is an accurate image of a follower of Christ? I would like for us to look at a couple lives of people in Scripture. One from the New Testament, Paul, what he says. And also David, who was considered a man after God's own heart. A man that had mighty men who followed him. And so this morning, first of all, I'd like for us to read from Paul. Paul, we knowing he was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the smartest, strongest, most likely person to lead a people. To lead a people on a path to follow. We know he was one that was one going out against Christians until Christ found him and broke him down, took this man of power and strength and pride and humbled him and sent him to the margins blind, where only he could find the Lord in that broken space, and then calls him on a mission to tell the world about where true strength lies, where true hope lies, where true life is lived. It's in following of Jesus. And so we read of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 29, and what he says, this mighty man of faith. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he says, "Are they servants of Christ? I am more." Starts off kind of sounds like he's kind of prideful, but listen to the list of what he boasts about. "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own countrymen, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have been often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. who is led into sin, and I do not burn, inwardly burn. Imagine his followers of this man of faith. Does this look like a man of strength with all these appears to be weaknesses? All these defeats, all these scars on his hands and on his heart for the life that he was striving to live. Imagine his followers. You know what a man or a woman's life is like by the people who follow them. You want to know what type of life a man is living? Look at those who are following him. I want you to pause there for the life of Paul there. And if you probably have already read the next verses, so you know what he would say, he would boast in. Boasting in his strength, boasting in his power, boasting in his pride. Let's go to David in 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. What is a mighty man of faith? 2 Samuel chapter 23, starting in verse 8, if you have a chapter headings there, my chapter heading says, David's mighty men. You'll know a man, what type of life he lives, by the people who follow him. And these were ones that were following him. This man who was a man after God's own heart. A man who had killed a lion with his bare hands and a bear in his bare hands by taking care of his sheep. And the man who killed a giant just with five smooth stones in a sling, but only took actually one to take down the giant. A man who was heralded and shouted out, he's killed his 10,000s, this mighty man of faith. Imagine his followers. Imagine the men following in his footsteps. And what would he say? And where would he come to the end as saying where his strength lies? Imagine his followers in 2 Samuel chapter 23, starting in verse 8. It says, these are the names of David's mighty men. Josheth Bashibeth, a Tachlamite, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 800 men, whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eliezer, son of Dodai the Ohiite. As one of the three mighty men, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pas Damim for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated, but he stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand was tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eliezer, but only to strip the dead. Next to him was Shammah, son of the Agi the Harite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them, but Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. What type of man was David based on his mighty men who followed him? They did exactly what they were led to do. You know, every person in your life, every leader in your life, they're doing exactly what they've been led to do. Whether it is in their home, on the job, in the church. Everyone is doing what they've been led to do. Makes us think about how we're leading, who we're leading, and who we're bringing up to follow in our footsteps, and where are those footsteps leading. These mighty men of faith were doing exactly what they saw their mighty King David do, the one who's killed his 10,000s, the one who would stand in front of a lion and a bear in protection of a flock, the one who would stand before a giant when everyone else was cowering, the one who would say, who are you to defy the enemies of the Lord? You come at me with sword and shield, I come at you in the name of the Lord. That kind of David. And so these mighty men of faith, they fought the battles. And man, you read about these guys, and you see the battles of a man killing thousands or 800 with a spear? One who would stand in the battle till the sword froze to his hand? He had to pry it out of his hand, maybe break it out of his hand? He was that committed. He fought his battles as David fought his battles. And men, I know you fought your battles. Fight the battles like the mighty men of faith before you. And they were faithful to the kingdom of God, faithful to stand there when everyone else would run away, to stand there long enough till your hand is frozen to your sword. And the one who would give glory to God, it says, as they talk about their victories and their mighty acts of manhood like their King David, it says, the Lord brought about a great victory that day. And again, in verse 12, and the Lord brought about a great victory. As they saw David fight many battles and stand strong for the kingdom and give glory to God, this is what they did. These were mighty men, men of strength, men of pride, and men of power in the name of the Lord. But we read on. 2 Samuel 23, verse 13. During the time, the harvest time, three of the 30 chief men came down to David at the cave at Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." So, the three mighty men broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from near the well from the well near the gate of Bethlehem and carried it back to David. Now we got to slow down here a little bit to hear what's really happening. The cave of Adullam was about a marathon away from where Bethlehem was. And they're stationed out here in the cave here, and they're about 26 or 30 miles away from Bethlehem. And who's camped out in David's hometown? The Philistines, of all places. They're not just camped out. They have a garrison there. I mean, they are making camp. They're taking over this. And so this mighty man of strength, this mighty man of God, David, and perhaps it's out of his strength, out of this position of strength, or this position of great desire, but regardless of how he said it, because of his mighty strength and his victory in battle, his assurance in the Lord, he says, "Oh, that someone would go get me a drink." And these three followers him, perhaps full of that strength, full of a little pride, saying, "Hey, we could do that. We could make that happen. That would make him happy. This is what we see our leader doing. How dare they take over his head sound? How dare they do that? And if that's what he wants, we're mighty guys." I don't know if these were the same three that we just talked about, the one with the frozen sword in the hand, or the one who, but there was three of these mighty guys. If it was them, or it was three other ones that said, "Hey, they have their stories, and let's make a story for ourselves here, and let's go get them that drink of water." And so they go to Bethlehem. And you know, the scriptures, we got to slow down a little bit. This looks like they kind of went across the street. Let's just go over there and get a drink of water. No, they go 20 to 30 some miles. And then it says they didn't just sneak into them. Now, there were some warriors and fighters that were pretty stealthy, like our modern day SEALs. You know, they can sneak into a place without anybody knowing and make an attack and get out of there. And everyone wakes up and goes, "What happened?" "Oh, I guess the SEALs were here." But these guys don't say they sneak around. They don't go the roundabout way and say, "Let's sneak in the quiet." No, they says they break through the enemy lines. I mean, this is like Braveheart times 10. Right? I mean, you've seen those war movies with the line of people lining up. And they come and they break through the Philistine line, full of this strength, full of this power, full of this pride. they bust through there, and you can imagine the people that they've killed, the blood that was spilt, the damages, the scars that they took, but they break through, and you can imagine the line kind of racing after them. They break it into the city, and what do? They go right to this well, and they take out a goat skin, a water jug, and they go to the well, and they're starting to lower this jug into this well to fill it up. And they're still having to, imagine, fight off these guys because they just killed some of their friends. And now they still want to take these out. These are warriors of the God of Israel, not the followers of the Philistines. And they get this jug of water. They pull it back up. And they're still fighting off these warriors. And what are they? They bust back out of there, run back to where David is in the cave. And they're 20-some, 30 miles away. And they bring him this drink of water from Bethlehem. Can you imagine those Philistine army warriors? Imagine their reports back to their official, their leader and their commander. Hey, man, what's going on out there? You wouldn't believe it. These guys busted through our lines. How many of them? Three. How many have we lost? More than three. Well, what do they want? A drink of water. And where did they go? They left. Did you catch them? No. So these mighty men of God, or mighty men following David, doing what they saw David do, doing what they thought David would have them to do, David says, I wish I would have this. These guys, full of their strength and their power and their pride, they bust through and by. I would love to see this played out on the screen, wouldn't you? These guys busting through these lines, get this drink of water, bring it up to their king. The blood dripping off. There's swords and their tatteredness and their tiredness. I mean, they just went on a long journey to make this happen. And we pick up in 2 Samuel 23, verse 16. So the mighty men broke through this Philistine army, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he pours it out before the Lord. He does more in the pouring out of that than he ever would have done drinking a sip of that water. Because he knows his strength comes from the Lord. You can see this mighty man of strength and power and pride being broken because he says, far be it from me, O Lord, to do this. Is it not the blood of men who went at risk of their lives? And David would not drink it. He saw the blood dripping from their hands and realizing, wow, I have a great responsibility. I have so much influence, and my flippant words, look at what it led these men to do in my name, for my benefit, for my quenching of my thirst. They risked their lives in thinking about how many people died in their effort. And he brought them back to me. And how dare I drink this as if this strength ever was my own? He remembers perhaps back to that moment standing before the giant Goliath and going, who are you to come at me in sword and shield? I come at you in my strength? No. In my power? No. In my pride? No. In my ability? No. In the name of the Lord. And he pours it out, and he would not drink it. Because our strength is in the Lord. From this position of strength, this posture of pride, he comes to a place of brokenness, a place of humility, a place of surrender. before His mighty men. These men of strength and of faithfulness and obedience who have the scars on their hands and the scars on their hearts of wanting to do whatever pleased their master, and now seeing their king pour out His life to point to the Lord Almighty, the true mighty man of strength. He realized he had been sending his followers the wrong message by his strength, by his pride, by his arrogance, by his attention for himself, that they would go to this length for him, and he could only get them to the grave. He could not get them to overcome the grave. And he humbles himself. He realizes, I'm sending them the wrong message, and he pours out that drink, showing that the strength is in the Lord. Well, Paul, he would say, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weaknesses. Mighty men confess their weaknesses. Mighty men will boast in their defeats, which seems so countercultural, which seems so different from all the mighty men that our world raises up to say, no, look at the perfection, look at the power, look at the strength, look at the wealth, look at the dominance. But where does that message get us? It'll only get us to the grave. It won't get us past that. If I must boast, Paul says, of all these things that have happened, of my great education and my great standard and my great work in the Lord, he boasts in all the things that defeated him, that knocked him down. And what does that message say after getting up off of those stone piles and getting off of those shipwrecks and out of the prison guard and out of all those places to say, my strength is in the Lord? A mighty man of faith shows humility. A mighty man surrenders his power to the one who is all powerful, to lift up the name of Jesus. Mighty man will pour out his life so that God will be lifted up. But yet we resist that. It's a battle. It takes so much strength and effort and willpower to show that kind of strength, to pour it all out. When you've accomplished so much and you have so much and you are strength and you have a lot of worth and maybe you deserve to be where you are. You've gotten yourself there. But we resist it because of our pride, because of the suffering, because of the sacrifice. We resist to confess our sins and our weaknesses. But you cannot know the strength that is in the Lord unless you confess your weakness. Others will not see the strength of the Lord in your life unless you confess your weakness. Because unless you confess, all they're going to see is how strong you are. And we know we ain't that strong. We know when the Lord shows up, we go to the margins. Because we're not worthy. And when we go, to the margins, where does the Lord go? He comes after us. You can't know the Lord until you confess your weakness. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:9 through 10, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults, in hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So this morning, mighty men, mighty women of faith, boast in your weaknesses so that the power the strength of God may rest on you. Confess your sins so that you can lift Jesus up in your life, so that others will see from where all strength and all power lies. Find strength. Find strength in the Lord. I ask you this morning, where is your strength? Who is your strength in this morning? Come and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Come and confess those sins and those weaknesses and those hardships, those scars, those defeats. And when we humble ourselves, He will lift us up. And when He lifts us up and people say, why are you so strong? Why are you so up? You say, because He lifted me up. And He can lift you up as well. So this morning, come and pour out your life. You've been given so much. And people are following you and want to be in service to you and want to bless you and go on the path that you're going in your strength and your pride and in your powers. But when it comes to you, at what great cost will you drink that to where all they see is you, but they don't see the one from whom all power and strength comes from? By pouring it out. This morning there's a space here and there's a time to come and confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. To come and confess, I am weak, but He is strong. And we will celebrate, and there will be a victory like nothing else. To put our hope in the Lord, our strength in the Lord. If you've not been baptized, to come and to be baptized, the ultimate sign of sacrifice, of admitting our weakness, that I am lost. I am nothing. I am sinful. I cannot get past this life on my own because I am in need of a Savior. To come and be baptized into Christ. To participate in the death, burial, and resurrection. To deny ourselves and take up our cross. Be raised with Him in the resurrection. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Having our sins forgiven. And to live with Him victorious because the battle belongs to the Lord. So this morning, where is your strength? Come and find strength in the Lord this morning as we stand and sing.